Hi, everybody. This is David Tu, and welcome to my podcast. Today, our topic is the socialistic church and sharing of all things. This idea that the church was socialistic and that everyone shared all they had is something that has come up several times recently. That Bernie Sanders is running for president seems to have opened this door for this discussion. Sanders does not deny being a socialist, though he does seem to try to downplay the label. However, it seems that his running for highest office in our land has caused his supporters to praise the principles behind socialism, and many idealists have taken this and run with it. Based on the demographics, it seems that many of these ideologues are younger voters, which makes sense since it is the young who typically are more idealistic. This has caused these people, especially those who are Christians, to look at the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about this particular topic. Was the church socialistic? What they find there is that the newly created church did enact a socialist brotherhood. And we find that in Acts 2 and also in Acts 4. And here are some verses that we find in the Bible that seems to support socialism. In verses 44 to 45 in Acts 2, it says, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need." And again in Acts 4, in verses 34 to 35, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the feet of the apostles, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." Reading those verses, it's easy to see that many might think the early church was socialistic. The Bible actually seems pretty clear that those who had sold property gave away the money. However, a closer reading reveals that no one was expected or required to actually do this. See, the Bible does celebrate people who do this sort of thing, and Barnabas is an example of that. In Acts chapter 4, we read about Barnabas who takes a field that he has, sells it, and gives the proceeds to the apostles. So Barnabas is celebrated and held up as an example of a generous person who does this sort of thing. However, immediately following that account, and sometimes we get confused because there's a new chapter, but remember, when Luke wrote the book of Acts, there were no chapters and verses, so immediately following this little story about Barnabas selling his fields, we see the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And really, when we look at that account, we will have a better idea of what was actually expected by the early church. Like Barnabas, Ananias and Sapphira also sold a piece of property. So the Bible is holding up Barnabas on the one hand, and Ananias and Sapphira on the other hand, to show us the difference in their behavior, in their mindset, in their spirits. Barnabas, we're told, is called son of encouragement. That's what Barnabas means. His name was actually Joseph, but he is called son of encouragement. So on the one hand, we see Barnabas held up in this light. Then immediately after that, we find this other example of Ananias. And he's going to be shown in a completely different light. They kept back some of the price. When Ananias gives the portion of the proceeds to Peter, Peter actually confronts him and asks, why has he lied about the donation? In Acts chapter 5, verse 4, we read something very interesting. Peter says this to Ananias in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control?" And that's really interesting, because look what Peter's actually saying. He's giving him the rules. He's saying straight out, he's telling us, here are the rules. Ananias, You didn't have to sell your property. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? You didn't have to sell your property. It was your own property. You didn't have to do anything with it. It was yours to keep. And once you sold it, you did not have to give all of the proceeds. Peter's exact words was, after it was sold, was it not under your control? So in other words, Ananias, after he sold it, he had every right to just give half of the proceeds, a quarter of the proceeds, none of the proceeds. He could do whatever he wanted. The problem Ananias had was not how much he gave. The problem he had was a spiritual problem. He had an arrogance that caused him to lie to the Holy Spirit, no less, so that he would have a greater standing in the community. He was looking to lift himself up so the community would say, oh, look, Ananias is like Barnabas. His sin was not holding back the money, it was pride. And this is what caused his and his wife's death. We will continue to read in the book of Acts, and in the next chapter, we find another interesting story, and this time, it's about how the widows in Jerusalem were being treated. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. If the church was indeed a perfect socialistic community, as we sometimes are led to believe during this period of time of church history, then why were there widows without food? Now, we can't say this is many, many years later, because it's very clear at the beginning of this verse, it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number. So it's during this early church growth period that this is happening. Some widows are getting food. Some widows are not getting food. The fact that any widows don't have food imply that not everyone was living in this idealistic, socialistic community. Now, if we keep on reading a couple of chapters later, in chapter 11, we learn that there was a famine. Starting in verse 27, we read this. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And it did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So here we see that the brothers living in Judea, that is, the church in Jerusalem, was struggling due to a famine. So the church in Antioch was asked to contribute to help. Notice what the expectation was. No one was forced to give away their wealth. People were asked to give what they could according to their abilities. There was no forcing of everybody to give all they had. It was simply, what are you able to give? Give to help the brothers in Jerusalem. Now, there's one last example. In the next chapter, Acts chapter 12, we read about Peter being held in prison and awaiting death from King Herod. But an angel of the Lord helps him to escape. As he escapes, he goes through Jerusalem looking for his church brethren, and he ends up at the house of Mary. And we read this in Acts 12, verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Did you catch it? John Mark's mother still owned her house. The church was meeting in it. Apparently, the church had no problem with the fact that she did not sell her house to help the widows from chapter 6, or to help those affected by the famine one chapter earlier. And we have to ask ourselves, why wouldn't she have had to sell her house to help those people who live literally right around her, because she's in Jerusalem, part of the Judean Brethren. Why wouldn't she have had to sell her house if, in fact, the church was socialistic and was causing, asking, forcing people to sell all they had to give it to the poor? If, indeed, the church was socialistic at its beginning, it obviously did not last very long. And, obviously, it wasn't very successful, because this experiment began in Jerusalem, and what we realize is that within a decade, the Jerusalem church is broke. They're the ones that need support from everyone else. The famine was worldwide. Everybody was getting hit by it, but it was the brethren in Judea who needed the help. And it becomes somewhat apparent that the church never forced anyone to give their property to the apostles for distribution. What we recognize is that what we saw earlier in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 was something that was done voluntarily by the role models of the church. Barnabas gave away his property, and notice it says a piece of property, not all his property. Barnabas gave away his property, and that was held up as an example for the church. To this day, the church continues to live this way. People who give away large portions of their wealth are held up in high esteem. Everyone is urged to give what they can, and people give according to their ability. Those who give sacrificially are given great honor. Those who do not give are not penalized. God desires people give cheerfully, but nowhere does the Bible oblige people to give it all, let alone all they own. This is actually why we debate the tithe today. The Old Testament obviously required it, but the New Testament doesn't demand it. It does appreciate it, but it doesn't demand it. Generosity is held up as a virtue, but it is not a law. At most, you might say that the church experimented with the socialistic community. At most. And if so, we might assume that this was because they expected Jesus to return soon, and so they had no need for all their property. They gave sacrificially because they weren't storing up treasure on earth, they were storing up treasure in heaven. However, when Christ did not return as quickly as they expected, the experiment was deemed complete. That's something we might be able to say. It's conjecture, but what we know we cannot say is that the Bible requires, or that the Bible even recommends, that people should give away all their wealth and their property. It says to be charitable, it says to be generous, but there is a huge difference between being charitable and socialism. So that's it for today. Thanks for joining me. I pray that this, again, has been enlightening and enjoyable. And if you haven't already, I would love it if you would subscribe to my blog. If you've enjoyed this, please go out to david2.com and you should find a sign-up form right at the top of the page. Also, I'm working to try to get as many people to subscribe to my blog as I can, and it would be a huge help if you could share this with your friends, anyone who you think might benefit from it. Send them the link. Send them a text. Send them an email. Let them know I'm out here. If you really like this, I would be indebted to you if you would also ask them to sign up for my blog post. Thanks for joining me. This is David Tu, and my calling is to share biblical truth with you. Maranatha.